Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
And I got the sunshine and the blue sky up above. I got the black top under my wheels. And I got big dreams. And I got people that I love.
I meet you back, Richie.
For once.
33 after the hour on the Good Day program. Rich McFadden at the controls in our studio in Washington. Kenny and I are on the West Coast enjoying the beautiful skies, the sunshine, the warmth. It was 76 here yesterday. What was it in San Diego, Kenny, yesterday?
About the same.
Same thing, yeah. Nice. Yeah. It's nice. If our thought for the day today.
Don't your farm while you're away.
It won't get very far. There's so much snow still on the ground, the eggs won't go anywhere. And we sold all the chickens anyway, Richie. Yeah. Got $8 a piece for them, too. It was
really?
A big sale. Yeah,
I should have bought them. I want chickens.
Right. Yeah. Our thought for the day, if in our daily life we can smile, if in our daily life we can be peaceful and happy, not only will we profit from it, but everybody around us will profit from it. Think about that. Smile as you start your day. Be aiming for something that's peaceful and happy. And not only will you benefit, so will everybody else.
And here's my thought for the day.
It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts are too tight in the seat.
Exactly.
Either or both of those things are appropriate. The story of this Arizona woman who spent 20 years on death row after being charged and convicted with killing her four-year-old son spoke out yesterday. We were talking about her case being dismissed on Monday. Yesterday, she went public. Her name is Deborah Milkey, I believe. That's how you pronounce her name, M-I-L-K-E. 51 years old, convicted in 1990 of the killing of her son. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals overturned her conviction in 2013, ruling the prosecutors withheld a detective's history of misconduct while her conviction was based entirely on an alleged confession that she gave to him, which he said she didn't do. So how come she stayed on death row? If this thing was thrown out in 2013, I haven't seen anything that legitimize why she stayed there. Kenny, what am I missing here in the recount of this story? Why did she stay in jail after 2013? The whole process, as you know, bothers me. 22 years on death row. She can now have a life after being deprived of it. The lawyer has been working for her for 15 years, took over the case because he believed she was innocent. The evidence available was a confession coming from what he described as a discredited police officer, and that's what they kept hammering on. So once again, I asked the question if it was she was supposed to be, well, she was free on bond. So I guess that was, there were other appeals. Is that it? Is that, did I read between the lines enough? She was, she had to wear an ankle bracelet, I think, from 2013 until on Monday when
probably
her position was secured. Yeah. Imagine what you would be thinking if you went through the same thing. Listen to the words of this woman.
And 14 days to rectify such a blatant miscarriage of justice. Losing a child to murder is a devastating tragedy with an indescribable pain that no parent should ever have to feel. It is the purest form of anguish imaginable that sears the soul, and the hurt never goes away, ever.
Yeah. Imagine. I always say in cases like that, think about how you would feel if this sort of thing happened to you. It's not something, I think, unless you've been through it. Yeah, how do you put yourself there?
Yeah.
Unless you've actually been there.
It's such an unimaginable place.
Yep. Okay. Big news coming out of Europe seems to focus on the airplane tragedy. So I'm not sure a lot of people are talking about the prevention of 230 suspected jihadists who are heading for the Middle East. Australian airports now seem to be the hub of activity for youngsters, teenage boys, who want to go fight with ISIS. What in the name of God is going on with these people at home? Yesterday we were talking about those who came from America and how motivated they would be. Here's the story of two boys from Sydney, 16 and 17, who were intercepted at the Sydney airport a week or so ago, attempting to get on a flight for Turkey without their parents even knowing that they were leaving. Within a week, a 17-year-old boy intercepted at the same airport on suspicion he was going to do the same thing. And now comes word today of 230 young people who have been prevented from flying because authorities suspected they were headed to join ISIS. Why would a teenager want to go over there? The International Center for the Study of Radicalization and Political Violence says that this sort of thing, the attraction to the Sunni militants, is something that is that has become a sort of I don't want to say social media thing, but I guess that's what it is, Kenny, in a sense. I don't know what else to call it, because the kids that have these, everybody's got an iPhone and they're all seeing these stories and the propaganda that comes. So the kids find it exciting and thrilling. So let's go. Kill us a few Middle Easterners. This future belongs to ISIS.
I think a lot of these kids want to feel like they belong.
Yeah, to some.
And that's who ISIS targets.
Yeah, like that. I've got the real story. You ready? What it is? Right. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
The city in Tunisia where they filmed Star Wars and where Tatooine,
yeah,
is now ISIS territory.
Really?
And it's actually called Tatooine, although it's spelled differently. Mm-hmm. And they're saying that the place in Tunisia has been taken over by ISIS fighters, and they're finding bombs and weapons all around it. Mm-hmm. So obviously these kids are going there because they want to be a part of the battle for the force.
All right.
The rebel force.
Richie's got the story. 19 before the hour. I'll do the television report in a few minutes because Jen's not here. Meanwhile, it's time for the marshmallow test. The story.
What is the marshmallow test?
What is the marshmallow test? I think I find this is a fascinating lesson in life. Why we would. This is. I love it. When Richie finds something, he wraps himself around.
Yeah, it's very
he
cool.
He wants everybody to know, in this case, what the marshmallow test is. What was there about this that attracted you? The fact that there's an admiral involved in the marshmallow test?
The fact that they followed. I just thought it was very fascinating. I don't have the story in front of me right now, but basically what they did is they collected 100 kids.
Yep.
And they said, you can have one marshmallow now,
mm-hmm.
or if you wait 15 minutes, you can have two marshmallows.
Mm-hmm.
And they put down in the record which kids took the immediate gratification versus the kids who waited to get the extra gratification.
These are kids between the age of 4 and 6, given a choice between one marshmallow now and two later on.
So then they checked in with those kids some years later when they were adults to see whether there was a difference in the kids who took the immediate gratification and the kids who waited. And there was.
Mm-hmm. 40 years later, researchers did a follow-up study where the same students examining the sort of adults they had become found the children who were able to delay gratification had higher SAT scores, higher grade point averages, and made more money. Perhaps they also tended to have a lower body mass of fat, but that's what it is, the body mass index. They also tended to have a lower, they had self-control. And that's something with you would be okay. I want one now or I want two later. That's self-control.
Right.
Is that taught? I think that's part of this. Is that something that's taught or is it something that you learn? Think about that. What have you taught your children? What were you taught yourself by your parents when it comes to this sort of thing? now. You want instant how many children do you know who want it now, mommy, I want it now.
I try to think upon my own experiences. I think I had to learn delayed gratification,
right,
and the value of it. I don't know that I always am able to do it, but you know, I remember certain circumstances where I wanted something now. I got it,
right,
as an adult, and then over the years, I've kind of taught myself, you know what? Let's just wait one day and see what happens.
Really?
Yeah.
No, that's the opposite of me, though, right?
Whether you still want it. You know, tomorrow, will I still want this?
Will you?
And you know the thing that taught me?
Tomorrow, what?
I bought a piano when I was 23 years old. A digital piano.
Yeah.
And it cost me $1,600. I had never played piano in my life, just kind of banged around on it. And I basically locked myself in my room when I had free time. And within a month, I played Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me and Great Balls of Fire. I never touched the piano again. I was like, okay. I can do this.
You proved it.
I proved
yourself. You could do it.
And I wasted $1,600. Had I waited 24 hours, that $1,600 would still have been in my account.
There you go.
So,
lessons in life from the Doug Steffen Good Day program at 16 before the hour.
Big success in a minute with George and Mary Lynn.
Are you stuck trading time for money? You know, you do your time and in exchange, your employer gives you money.
Author Danny Johnson says, break the time is money mindset. Stop fitting your lifestyle around your work. Adjust your work to fit your lifestyle.
How? By remembering just one thing. How hard you work matters little. How much you produce makes all the difference.
How do you spend a typical day? Write it down, then conduct some analysis.
How much time do you spend on tasks which help you create the life of your dreams?
Focus on those tasks, the ones which produce the results you want.
Eliminate all the others, and you'll get more of the results you want. It leads to big success.
Find big success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial, along with two free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Now, Cheap Psych Tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Expense statements, tax returns, well, it's human nature, but some of them are going to be fakes fabricated to bring maximal return to the creator. But is there a way to spot a fake expense statement or tax return? Here's the science of it. Of course, it goes without saying, honesty is the best policy. Make sure the receipts match the numbers. But every now and then, it's necessary to recreate documentation that has been lost. People who have a tendency to fake expense statements use dollar figures with way too many threes and sevens. What's the cheap psychological trick? Well, to determine fakes, mathematicians look for excessive use of repeated numbers. To avoid the problem, go for honesty and count your sevens and threes before you turn it in. Questions? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Think green.
Harrison with you. British marine experts have announced that stranded whales on British beaches will be killed by lethal injection rather than trying to refloat them into the safety of deep water. Researchers say that most beach whales in Britain have fatal damage to their internal organs once they beach and are being made to suffer as a result of what they're calling doomed attempts. But if there's a high chance of success, they will attempt to refloat the whales. Many of the whale breeds can be found in American waters, too, like the sperm, beaked, and northern bottlenose whale, which normally live and feed in deep water. However, dolphins and porpoises, which tend to arrive in mass strandings, won't be lethally injected by the British unless they're also found to be seriously ill. From the Greeniverse.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.
There was 57 channels and... All right, 13-4 of the hour now in the Doug Steffen Good Day program. James Corden unveiling as the new host of the Late Late Show on CBS, delivered about 1.5 million viewers. I guess that's a good number for that time of night. Craig Ferguson, his numbers were a little better as he was going along after the dust settled there. But if you're wondering what all the hoopla is about, here's an example of Mr. Corden's humor in some jokes that came out of last night's first monologue.
California has 1 year of water left. Yeah, And it's your laughter that concerns me. Because nobody seems bothered about this at all. And I am, because I literally just moved here with my wife and children and, you know, just presumed that my children wouldn't die. Like, truly, I thought the water was such a given, I didn't even ask for it in my CBS contract. Yeah. Like... And this isn't specific to me, guys, or my family. You all understand that we need water, right? Like, all of us. Human beings are 60% water. And according to my research, if we don't fix this, human beings will be 100% dead.
Pretty funny. I like that.
Was?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not me.
Okay.
Okay. Brian Gumbel's Real Sports.
You're not an easy sell when it comes to football.
No, I'm not. Real Sports, 20 years. I find that hard to believe. Been 20 years since he was off of the Today Show and doing this show on HBO. Real Sports. How many people have watched this?
I have. It's a good show.
19. Yeah.
I've seen bits and pieces over the years.
Yeah. He's always been considered one who was really arrogant, difficult to deal with, blah, 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 blah. But this seemed like a good vehicle for
him.
My
wife loves that show because it tells stories.
Yeah, he's a good storyteller.
Loves it.
X-Files coming back to Fox. Limited series. Chris Carter returning with David Duchovny and Gillian. Is it Gillian or Jillian? I don't know what's her name. Jillian. So Agent Mulder and Scully. This is one of the most... This is a phenomenal success story.
It's going to be huge.
I watched this and I couldn't stand the creepy crawlies, but... It was on for 9 years, one of the most successful TV dramas of all time. 27 million people. It's like had the numbers of originally the 24 and American Idol. It settled down after a while, but you can understand the enthusiasm of people who are followers of fashion. Good luck to them. I hope it does well. Bill O'Reilly says he thinks television viewers trust him. Despite accusations, he stretched the truth. Was on the Late Show last night, said the controversy has worked out okay for him. There is a sort of rumor floating around also that Brian Williams is going to come back to the NBC Nightly News.
Yeah, whether people forget. We're all stupid. We forget. Crazy.
And John Hamm from Mad Men admits to undergoing alcohol treatment. He's out now so they can start filming the next season of Mad Men.
Oh, isn't that convenient timing?
Yeah, very handy.